Genesis chapter 22. It hasn't really been that long since I have preached from this text, but I can't cover the life of Abraham and not talk about the great test of his life. And so at the risk of repeating a message that I preached, I think somewhere, it's not the message that I preached a year ago, but it's the text that I preached a year ago. We're going to go back through that. We're going to look at Abraham's test, and we're going to talk about growing in faith, how test will help us to grow. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? I do want to say thank you to Brother Greg for filling in for me last week and Brother Roach. I appreciate the church's understanding, allowing me to be absent to celebrate a church 50th anniversary in Mississippi that I pastored there for 10 years. And we just had a wonderful time. Thank you for giving me that liberty. But it sure is good to be back home with you. And it's good to see you today. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, we're talking about Abraham. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him." "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything for him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer, please? You may be seated. I must confess, before I start, I should apologize to you. Each time I go over this message, it grows. It grows. And the more I read this, it just keeps growing, and Scripture keeps flooding my mind. And so finally this morning I said, I'm not going to go over it again. They'll walk out on me before I finish it. So hopefully it won't last, the message won't last longer than your ability to listen. But as I look, I'm so fascinated so fascinated by this test that Abraham went through. You do realize that we go and we will go through tests, right? Matter of fact, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, we're told, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the," what? "Fiery trials which shall try you as though some strange things happened to you." It's not unusual. But when we think of test, what do we think of? We think of somebody persecuting us for our faith. We think of going through difficult times because of our faith and even being tempted to sin and things like that. But I want you to notice what this test was for Abraham. And this is perhaps one of the most challenging tests that you and I can face today. This was a test of just following God. Will you follow God, come what may? No matter how tough it gets, no matter where it leads, will you follow God? That's what Abraham did. He followed God. And if you're going to follow God, number one, you're going to have a determination. And first thing, we look at Abraham's call. God called out to Abraham, "Abraham!" And Abraham said, "Here am I." And I love the immediate response. There's a readiness there in Abraham's voice. No hesitation. No, "Oh my goodness, what does God want now?" There's not, "What if God asked me to go somewhere and do something else? And I've gone my limit." There's none of that. God says, "Abraham." Abraham says, "Here am I. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What can I do?" God says, "Abraham, I want your son." Now, this gets really serious really fast, because I want you to understand, and perhaps if you're a parent, you can. If you're a grandparent, you can. But this is the son that Abraham had waited his whole life for. He had left his homeland for this son. He had followed God for the last 20 years, waiting on this boy. Actually, it's been, I guess, at this point, closer to 35 years or somewhere in that neighborhood now. But I want you to understand what God is asking for. God is asking Abraham, "I want your boy." And see, this is what Abraham's life was all about. This boy. So Abraham has to answer a question. And that question, of course, being, "Can I trust God? Can I trust God with my boy?" And that answer comes as we see Abraham's compliance to God's instruction. God said, "Take your son, offer him as a burnt offering on the place I'll show you." And you know what Abraham did? Abraham said, "God, I will, but I'm busy right now. Let's do it next week." Is that what he said? No. God called. Abraham said, "Here am I, Lord." "Yes, Lord." God said, "I want your son. I want you to offer a burnt offering." And the next morning, he rose up early and took his son, got the wood, took a couple of his servant boys, and they went out to offer his boy to God. No question, no hesitation, not even a time of dread, just complete obedience. Now, you see, I want to point out to you at this point how hard a time we seem to have with absolute obedience toward God. And the reason that I say that is because we're living in a day that people are afraid to follow God. They're just afraid. And they're afraid, "Well, what if God asked me to do something I don't want to do?" He probably will. Well, what if God asked me to give up something that I love? He probably will. What if God calls me to teach a class? Glory to God. Amen. Oh me. Go ahead, say it. Oh me. What if he calls me to be a missionary? Pack your bags. Let's go. Glory to God. Oh no. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't even want to consider that. It scares me to death. Here you go. I want you to consider this. Consider the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 28. And we know, and let's read this together, okay? Let's do that. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do you believe it? Do you really? What if God calls you to be a missionary? Are you ready to follow? What if God calls you to pastor churches? Are you ready to follow? Brother Doug, that scares me. Well, get on the bandwagon. It scared me too. And there are times that I'm still scared today. But here's the one assurance that Abraham knew that caused him to be so obedient in responding to God's request. He knew that all things work together for good to those that love God. You see, he had went down the path of faithfulness, and he had went down the path of unfaithfulness. He had done well, he had made mistakes, but where he made mistakes, the man learned. You know? And he was at a point now that he knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knew that God was always right and that God always had his best interest at heart. So I want you to understand today, it may seem difficult, it may seem scary, it may, you know, you may think, I can never do this. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desire to come after me, let him, what's that word? Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whenever God calls, if you want to pass the test, all right? If you want to pass the test and you want to come out the other side and say, yes, I was faithful, you got to be ready to take up your cross and ready to respond. Oh, you see, I kind of harp on this today because there are so many out there that are just afraid. You see it at invitation time. They're, you know, the head's down and they're trembling and they're holding on to the back of the pew and they're thinking, oh, nobody knows. I want to tell you something. God knows. He's the one that's calling you. What are you waiting on? First step is to take the first step. The first step is obedience. The test is obedience. But you'll never be obedient to God's call if you stay in the pew. Second, number two, the implementation. If you're going to be obedient to God's call, if you're going to pass the test, you're going to have to put into practice what you say you believe. I love Abraham's response. He loaded everybody up. They take off and they get near the site. They see, and he sees where God had told him that he was to sacrifice his son. And he says, come on, Isaac, we're going. You boys stay here. We're going to offer you as a sacrifice. He didn't say that, did he? He did not say, we're going to offer you as a sacrifice. What did he say? We're going to, what's the word? Worship. You boys stay here. We're going to worship. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? We're going to worship. Now, Abraham, his worship was obedience. His worship was not offering his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. His worship was obedience. We think of worship as what we do when we come on Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong, I love Brother Dale, and he does a wonderful job and leads us from songs to sing and all that. It's a great thing. Amen? But I want to tell you what, there's a lot more to worship than singing a song on Sunday morning. Okay? A lot more to worship than singing a song on Sunday morning or listening to a preacher preach. And unfortunately, that's all many do. That's all they have the idea of doing. But, you know, I fear that we're like they were in Isaiah 29:13 that says, therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and the fear and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. You want to worship? Be obedient to the call of God. You want to worship? When God says you need to go to that altar and spend time prayer, get on your knees at the altar and go pray. You want to worship? When God says you need to witness to your neighbor, go get that guy and tell him about Jesus. It's the obedience that makes the difference. We can sing a good song and never honor our great God. That's what I'm saying. Abraham was going to worship. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's all about being obedient and doing the works of the Lord. That, my friends, is acceptable worship. You want to worship? Do what God says. And I also love the confidence that Abraham had. We will return, he said. We're going to go worship and we will return. Somewhere along the way, old Abraham finally got it. Every step of the way of this process, he had the full assurance that his son would live. You know, and you say, how did he know that? Well, we know that he knew that from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, where it talks about by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up his son Isaac, and he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding, and this is why Abraham was so faithful, he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from that which he also received in a figurative sense. You know what? Every step of the way, Abraham knew he had the promise of God. When he said, you boys stay here, come on Isaac, we're going up this mountain to offer to worship. He knew he had the promise of God. He knew that Isaac was his chosen seed. And he knew that Isaac would live. Even if he put him on that altar, put that knife through him and burnt him as a burnt offering, Abraham knew that his God was faithful and his God was a promise-keeping God. And here's what I want you to get. When you're willing to follow God, if he calls you to ministry, if he calls you to teach a class, if he calls you to sing in the choir, if he calls you to witness to your next door neighbor, whatever God calls you to do, he will always keep his promises. Always be faithful. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. And Abraham, along the way, he got that. That's why he said, boys, we'll be back. We'll be back. Every step up that mountain, we'll be back. With confidence, Abraham built that altar. With confidence, Abraham placed wood in order. With confidence, Abraham laid his son Isaac. He bound him and laid him on that altar. And with confidence, he took out his hand. And I want to tell you, you know this. Or if you don't, I'm about to tell you. Old Abraham, if God hadn't stopped him, nobody would have. When it says he lifted up that knife to slay him, put it in our language, that knife was coming down. When God said, hold up. Hold up, partner. That knife was coming down to go into the body of Isaac. When God said, wait. Wait. You see, he was sold completely out. Here's what I want you to get, okay, at this point. Faith will always require action. Okay? You can talk about believing God all you want to. But until you walk the walk, you're not getting it. Okay? Until you're putting it into practice. That's why James said in James chapter 2, verse 20. He says, but do you want to know, O foolish man? Read this with me, this one verse. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It didn't say faith without showing up for church on Sunday morning is dead. Didn't say faith without being a pretty decent fellow is dead. Faith without works. What's he say? He's saying, putting into practice what you say you believe. Faith without works is dead. Meaning you don't have anything if the works don't back up what you say. And then he goes on to talk about old Abraham in verse 21. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together, that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See, I want you to understand that Abraham didn't have the market cornered on faith. God's not going to call you to sacrifice your child, okay? He's not. He's not going to call you to put your baby boy up on an altar, and he's not going to do it. You see, and we're going to get into this. This was a picture of Christ. We'll get into that in just a moment. We're going to re-preach this in just a second, okay? I said, Brother Doug. Yeah, I know. Can't help it. But I want you to understand, you're no different than Abraham. Okay? You're no different than Abraham. Well, Brother Doug, God had the special place for Abraham, and his descendants were going to be a blessing. Yes, I understand that. God had a special place for Abraham. I want to tell you something. God has a special place for you if you are a child of God. Okay? You are called according to you. It's his purpose. What God needs from you is obedience. That, yes, Lord, I'll follow. Wherever you lead, Lord, I'll follow. Now, I want to ask you, don't just take just a moment, and let's not worry about what your neighbor's doing. Let's not worry about, wonder, you know how we do sometimes. Somebody comes to mind and we're thinking, boy, I hope they get that over there. Let's dismiss that today. Let's just talk about you and God. Does your life back up what you say you believe? Are you where you're supposed to be doing what God called you to do? Or has God been working on you so long saying, come, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be involved in youth ministry. I want you to be involved in college ministry. I want you to join this church. I want you to... And you fill in the blank. Are you there? Are you there? Have you said, yes, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow? If not, why not? Well, Brother Doug, crowds make me nervous. Big deal. Don't worry about what... Just follow God. Just follow God. Brother Doug, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I think I do. You see, back years ago, some 30 years ago, I wasted about 6 years refusing to follow God. I'd stand there during the invitation and hold to the back of the pew. I would stand there during the invitation and just hope that it ended soon. Believe it or not, there was a time when I didn't even like to go to church. Brother Doug, you didn't like to go? No, because every time I went to church, I was convicted. You know? Till finally, I said, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. And that's when life got better. You know? That's when life got better. Now, I'm not suggesting for the last 30 years I have faithfully taken every step that God instructed me to. No, I've kind of fell by the wayside every once in a while. But, my friend, my goal and my heart's desire is to be faithful, to answer God's call. What is the goal of your faith? You see, we go from having a determination, making up your mind, to then implementation, putting into practice what you say you believe, because faith always requires action. Then there will be verification. I love after God stopped Abraham and... And God said, whoa, stop, Abraham. And now I know. I know that you fear God because you did not withhold your only son. Let me ask you something. Do you fear God? You know what that word fear means? It doesn't mean terror. It means to reverence and to honor. Abraham showed reverence and honor toward God by his obedience. He answered God's call. He didn't hold anything back. Now, let me ask you a question. What's your most prized possession? What's your most prized possession? What do you love more than anything? Are you willing to give it to God? You willing to let God have it? What? I mean, let me ask you a question. What if God told you or asked you, I want every dime you have. I want you to take everything you have out of the bank and I want you to send it to missionary so-and-so on the other side of the world. Would you do it? Why not? You say, Brother Doug, God would have to tell me. Well, that's what I'm asking. If God told you, I'm not asking you to clean your bank out. No. I'm giving you an example. Okay? If God asked you for your most precious possession, would you give it to Him? I want you to think this logically. God already has your most precious possession. Okay? It already belongs to Him. Whether it's your bank account, whether it's your child, whether it's, you know, anything that you own it because it's on loan from God. He gave it to you. Okay? It already belongs to Him. You see, it's when we take those gifts that God gives us and out of obedience use those things to His honor and to His glory that our faith is verified. You know, it shows up. Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Listen, don't hold back on God. He didn't hold back on you. I said I was going to re-preach this. Just for a minute, okay? Stay with me. Because I want you to see the picture. Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. You know, from the very beginning, God never wanted His son. He never wanted Isaac to be sacrificed. But God was testing his faith, his obedience. Abraham passed the test. But I want you to go back and I want you to look at the picture that was painted. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want your son, your only son, whom you love so very much. Does that sound familiar? For God gave His only begotten son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Does the scripture when Jesus was baptized and it comes back and Jesus and God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you realize that the gift of eternal life that came from the heart of God. He didn't just arbitrarily say, oh, we're going to do this. He gave His Son. I want to tell you, I can give me, but you talk about being a whole lot harder for me to give my child. That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different level of love. And you see, that's the picture that God is encouraging Abraham to paint here. And that's the picture that was realized in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus Christ came to this earth. And they came to that place that God had appointed, that hill called Mount Calvary. And you know what? God took His Son up that hill. And there was no substitute for the Son of God. God took His Son to the cross of Calvary where He was hanged, the nails driven in His hands and feet, where He was in agony with the crown of thorns and just the torture of it all. That's the love that God had for you. You know what's really cool? When Abraham said, we're going to go up to the mountain and worship and then we will what? We'll come back. Yeah, they crucified Jesus. Yes, Yes, he died for the sin of all mankind. But I want to tell you, 3 days after he had died, he came out of that grave alive and well. And he is living today. Oh, my friends, I want you to get this picture that if you're not a child of God, if you're not a child of God, I want you to see the love. And I think that's why God painted this picture. So that you could see the love that it would take to pay the penalty for your sin. God has that kind of love for you. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. God just loved you, so He gave His Son. So that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you a child of God? If not, why not? Why not? I mean, you talk about a God that gives His all for you. God did. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, have you made it public by following the Lord in baptism? If not, why not? I want to tell you what, that crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a public event. He hung on that cross for all to see. Why would you not want to identify with Jesus Christ through baptism? If you are saved and if you are baptized, are you obedient? Are you willing to say, Lord, my most precious possession is yours? Because as we said before, hey, it belongs to Him anyway. I've come to the conclusion God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? I mean, yeah. If God wants me to have it, He just gives it. If He don't want me to have it, no matter how hard I try, He can take it away. It belongs to God anyway. Listen to this last statement. And then I'm going to close. Quit running from God. Quit running from God. He loves you. He has your best interest at heart. He wants your good. Quit running from God. Our Father in heaven, thank You for the day. Thank You for, Lord, this opportunity to look into Your Word and learn of You. Thank You, Lord, for the example of faith that Abraham set as he took his son to offer as a sacrifice. But Lord, thank You for the substitute that You intervened and You gave him a ram to sacrifice on that day, but You were painting a picture that would occur some 4,000 years later upon the cross of Calvary, where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Your Son, would be sacrificed. And there would be no substitute for Your Son. Thank You, Lord, for Your great love. Now I pray, Lord, Your will be done in this invitation. I pray that we'll quit running and we'll say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, to Your will for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.